This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Back here at TST 2023, the 20th anniversary. I'm so proud of Chi Trulia, his wife Doreen, and all the volunteers for TST, the TSTseminars.org, the technician service training. Great trainers out here. The beauty of this event, it's a one day. Ballroom is full, 400, 450. Unbelievable. Everybody gets a tablet. They get a chance. You don't pick the course you go to. You come, you get it all. And great, great event. With me is Justin Kidd. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks, good. Man. Justin's with iScan. And former technician, or are you still one?
I still work on some cars here and there, but yeah, I was a dealer technician for a while.
Great.
At a Mercedes dealership in Long Island.
Nice, nice, yeah. Cool. And he's also with industryattends.com. We're going to talk about that. It is so cool. Wait till you hear about this. Dave Muckholz is with me, the academic chair of Suffolk County College of Automotive Technology. So that's an awfully long thing to say.
It's a mouthful.
Interestingly enough, I interviewed Dave back when I think I still had darker hair, 2018, episode 330. It was really good. Thank you. We learned a lot from you. Glad to have you back. Obviously, you're kind of not in your neighborhood, but we're close.
Yeah, not too far. About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Out on Long Island, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So is Suffolk at the east end or the west end?
Suffolk's the east end of Long Island. It starts probably about 30, 40 miles out on the island and goes all the way out to the tip of Montauk.
Oh, it does. One big, huge...
Yes, about 1.5 million people.
Wow.
Large county. We're the largest community college in the SUNY system.
You are. And I'm on the advisory board of a SUNY system school in Buffalo. And when we turn the mics off, we can talk.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, plan to be at Apex 2023, October 31st through November 2nd. Apex will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a full 10-bay working environment. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, then Apex is for you. Hey, for over 30 years, Napa Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatracs.com. So here's the deal. This is it. This is one of the most high-tech industries that we're in, but I think we've kind of done not a great job of telling the rest of the world about it, right, Dave?
It's tricky. It's just telling someone in the hall, that meeting about a week ago with a dealer owner out on Long Island, and dealer owner says to me, I just hired 10 technicians for my busy BMW store, and not a single one of them has ever touched a car. It's something that I'm hearing more and more from dealers and independents as well, is that they're struggling to find people. When they do find people, they're having a hard time training them fast enough and retaining them. I think NADA is claiming about a 60% turnover rate at new car dealerships in terms of technician retention, which is a huge problem.
I'm hearing that. I'm also hearing that the college grads from your school, as an example, will go out, they'll throw them on the lube rack for too long of a period of time with no career path, and they get themselves out at the rate of 50%.
They come out pretty quickly too. We've had some pretty good success with our OE branded programs. Like, we've been with GMA Sub School since 1987. We've had a Toyota T10 program since 2003, Honda since 2005. We have 8 partners total. But in terms of the retention in those programs, because the students are coming out highly certified.
That's right. They're sticking around.
They're sticking around longer because the rate of pay is higher. So for example, we have a young lady actually that's in the second year of the T10 program, and she's going to graduate with all 8 of her ASEs. And I think she's going to start probably in the $27, $28 an hour range. So if you compare that to somebody that just came out of a regular technical high school or a technical brand agnostic generic automotive program, they're probably going to make $16 or $17 an hour. So there's a huge swing in that number. So there's something to the certification piece. I think the more that we emphasize credentialing. Yeah. It's not something that we talk enough about, I think. One thing I didn't tell you beforehand is I'm in a PhD program.
No.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And
you're going to become the president of the college?
No, not
a dean?
At all. Maybe, but my real passion is kind of getting to the bottom of automotive industry certification. So I'm researching the relationship between automotive certifications and earnings potential.
That's your thesis?
It is, yeah. So it'll be about a 250-page document by the time I'm done with it, probably about in a year and a half.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Call me. Let's do an episode. Really, honest to God, we need to know what your research is about.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild. I mean, some of the early stuff, I can tell you a little bit just from going through a lit review and looking at the information that's out there. Technical high schools, right, that have automotive programs are predominantly minority, right? A lot of Black, Hispanic students. interestingly enough, an NADA survey last year showed that B technicians are predominantly white. So one of the things that kind of caught my eye there was why? Is it to do with the training level, the certification level, the supports, you know, sort of the turnover in the business, especially for those that socioeconomically may not have, you know, the ability to support themselves at an entry-level wage? So that's one thing that kind of stuck out as interesting. The other thing that's really interesting to me too, if you look at sort of industry-wide certification, right, and you look at the OE side, none of the OEs share their training information with each other, right? So I could be completely certified at a Mercedes store, right? Leave Mercedes and go to a general shop. Not that the general shop would necessarily recognize it, but let's say they go to another dealer and they have to start their training pathway at least somewhat over, right? It's kind of disincentivizing people to stay in the industry because people change jobs.
What about brands?
Changing brands. But I think it's causing people to change careers because they say, I don't have any flexibility within this career to make a parallel move. I have to take a deduction in what I make, right? And that's sort of abnormal in any other career field that you would make a parallel move and take.
That we're making as one of the most important skilled trades. It's really a high-tech profession, but you can call it a skilled trade, I guess. Is the college really is focused and cares about us because it's almost like automotive technology could lead the whole CTE thing from high school, P-Tech, and all that stuff that's going on. Anyway, we're in a great place to support education. And my soapbox is about all of us in the industry, from service advisors to technicians to shop owners, to get in front of a career day. Don't talk about this reputation of being dirty and greasy. And you think ChatGPT is cool? Wait till you see what you can do working in an automotive repair shop someday, baby.
Yeah, it's every day is something new, right? I put an EV into my newsfeed every day. I'm kind of looking at all the news that's coming out. I think just this morning, Volkswagen was talking about $165 billion investment. I'm pretty sure by 2030, their plan is to be 100% EV.
Okay, but still, when they announce the EV, I love that car, but I'd like it in an EV. You can have that. I just want to stick with my gas. I know where to go to fuel it, and I don't ever want to get stuck in a problem. Tell me that the grid isn't working, and And oh, by the way, as we saw Pete Meyer's presentation today, I have to tell you, it was great. I have to get Pete come on the show and do that presentation. It was 20 minutes of pure slap upside the head common sense about EVs, wasn't it?
Yeah. And in contrast to that, if you look at what's going on in terms of funding streams, $2.5 billion was announced by the Department of Energy this week for EV charging infrastructure. And that's money that's allocated and it's actually being disseminated to individuals, counties, states to set up that infrastructure. So yeah, there are definite challenges, but there is a government right now that is willfully investing in this in a major, major way.
But to Pete's point, and so many other people, we did a show recently on, again, Tracy's here and she may be able to help me understand it. But the day that episode's going to go out about, we just had a bunch of shop owners from California because California seems to be leading the 2030 thing, right? Or the 2035. And how these guys look at the evolution of EVs into their world. And it's like, they were yawning at me. Not that you shouldn't listen to the episode. There's a lot of great stuff there, but they say it's going to happen like every other technology thing that's happening. And yeah, they're trying to push this thing. But guys, we can't run our air conditioners because the grid is weak. You don't think that's going to happen with our car? If you want safe and, let me say the word, reliable transportation and you can't charge a vehicle?
Yeah, there's a whole nother topic of conversation here. But if you look up the 2030 UN document, I mean, it's kind of a push to change education, change clean energy, but also lessen the amount of cars on the road. And that's a real thing. I mean, I think part of that strategy is maybe we're not so worried about how it impacts driving because we want less driving.
They're building cities, I hear. No parking for these big apartment buildings because you're going to walk to work or Uber somewhere or take the bus or the train or work from home. And you can't be a naysayer with all the changes that are going around, but you need to be a student of it. And you need to say, what role am I going to play in that change? Now, as a shop owner, I think we have a bunch of years not to super worry, but if you're not into EVs and hybrid and you didn't buy your town, who did I speak? Well, the Carlson's own GrandRapidsHybrid.com. And who did I tell the other day? I told John Constantine from Buffalo, and he went and bought Buffalo Hybrids and Buffalo EVs Com. He went and bought them. And I was just chatting with them and he goes, oh my God, Carm, thank you so much. They were available. And so if we're not marketing the fact that we're doing this kind of work, then shame on us, because preparation for the future starts now. That's my point.
I'd agree 100%. It's interesting what you said about being prepared and whatnot. Like from the educational perspective, the hard thing to do is to know kind of where to be. We've for a time have been partnered with Tesla to have an insight into these cars and the technology that's on them. Whatever you want to say about Tesla, and the company and person that runs it, those cars are technologically unbelievable. I mean, when you really start to dig into the amount of investment that they've made in engineering, and they're really an engineering marvel. To me, it's an exciting time to kind of embrace the idea, no matter what we think about the viability of it long term. One thing's definitely for sure. Technologically, cars are just going to get more and more complex. I don't think they're going to get any simpler. So events like this, formal education and training programs, certification pathways, I think are things that we need to constantly be talking about and encouraging the entire industry collectively to be a part of.
How are you changing the curriculums for your students to embrace new technology, yet alone EVs and hybrids? I mean, are you finally saying we got to get there, or are you already there?
It's starting. It's been sort of a slow rollout. Some schools have kind of plunged in complete EV programs, departures from anything to do with the ICE at all. And to me, I don't know that there's a job market to support that yet. So we've started rather slowly. As I mentioned, we did have the Tesla program. Our Toyota program will be the first in the state to have, we call it an electrified powertrain curriculum through Toyota, where actually students will be factory certified for Toyota Lexus, working on their EV product. So we're there with some of the corporate brands. The biggest challenge right now is getting the cars, actually. They're very difficult to get, even with the manufacturer programs that we have, because there's consumer demand for them. Also, they're concerned about safety. And one thing that I think that we have to really be aware of in the industry is this isn't a hybrid with a battery that's a couple hundred volts. And I mean, in some cases, these things could be upwards of 1,000 volts, right? You have a safety component that I think a lot of the OEs are still worried about. But that being said, we're creating new courses and we're talking about what do we replace? Because we have to take something out of the curriculum in order to put this curriculum in.
Look, let's not be afraid to work on EVs. We have lift safety. We got to have EV safety.
Correct.
Okay.
If you went to Apex 2022, then you realized the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional. Joe's Garage is your place with 10 working bays as you experienced real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies from tools and repair to management software had their latest and greatest for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest. Now, work is underway to make next year's Apex 2023 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your sales and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening as we bring you the latest from Apex 2023. Save the date, October 31st through November 2nd, 2023. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
You said you knew a guy who just brought on 10 people, didn't have any automotive background. They were probably looking for attitude.
Yeah.
See?
They're looking for somebody that's willing to show up, do the job, and they felt that they can train them. But training's an issue too.
It is.
Because
if you can't
find technicians, you got to find teachers too.
It's an Everest thing.
It is.
But don't be afraid to bring on, think about just a single shop needs a person and really discovers this really bright young person who has just got energy, knows that person's going to fit. Did all the right testing, shared interviews amongst the team and says, I don't know, righty, lefty, loosey, tighty, you know, anything like that. But you know what? We like this person. Let's bring them on. And there's so much training. Guys, look at Keith and look at Bernie, all these people. Look at the networks. It's like these on demand, Carquest and Napa. Person could go to school, night school, get a learning management system in play, keep a resume on their training. And in 2 years, potentially, instead of going to college, I am so excited about the resources that we have as an industry to teach our young people what this high-tech job's about.
As you sit and talk about it, I say struggles or the things that have happened at the colleges. I was a proponent of that. So being a dealer tech, I actually went to the college that Dave teaches at many years before that. And I learned how to be, you know, a technician and wanted to know if this was a career path for me. So that's where I went to school. I went to Suffolk Community College, walked through the halls as a student there, and then became a technician. And then as we're talking about it, how did I get educated? Well, per dealer, they all have their own mentality of how much money and budget they're going to spend on a student. So different dealerships, even within the same brand, they're all franchisee owners. So they could actually send you for a lot of training or not invest money at all. That's the difference. You can leave and go to a different dealer with this in the same vehicle line and get a wildly different experience. And I think part of that was I did have to go bouncing around a little bit to find what I would consider like my home and where I had the best memories of being a technician and getting educated and being excited about taking classes and knowing that I was going to go away and get educated on a particular piece of this industry and then bring it back to work. And then as we talk about the classes and what's available, how would I have found that as a technician leaving or a student leaving school? Now that you left school and you had your teacher telling you where to find, what do you do at the dealer if it's not the dealer classes, if it's not available? You know, it's just like tooling too, right? So you don't know what you don't know. Keith Perkins said that perfectly. You just don't know what you don't know. And I think industry attends is where I kind of created this element of a single place for everybody to find the event happenings. Because if I was a student leaving Dave's school, I'd like to know what I should do to continue my education. Again, if the dealership isn't going to do it for me, but that's what keeps us fresh and excited. And we're here with some really great stuff. Every time I go to an event and we go to a SEMA or TST, a big event, and there's vendors there, there's all sorts of new stuff you've never heard of before.
Yeah. Just by being here, even if you didn't attend any of the training, through osmosis, you were going to walk away smarter. I saw Chris Chesney, of course, you both know Chris, do a keynote speech November. And he said something so profound and you brought it up in my mind. He says that good old don't know what you don't know. He needs to change it. He wants to change it. Is it that you don't know that you don't know? Just changing that one word. Not what you don't know, but that you don't know. And I did an interview with him, actually two in the last couple of months. He's with Repairify now and doing some really fun, neat, and different things. So industryattends.com, tell us about it.
Yes, I started looking at a couple of things. So I figured I go lots of different places and sometimes I'm not really sure where to be next month for a company, right? Doing a vendor or classes. So I started looking at like my schedule and how do I figure out if I can't figure out where I'm supposed to be next month or throughout the year and plan ahead? How can a shop owner or a student or a technician figure out where he's supposed to be and budget for the year again and be home for the family? And kind of sparked something with me with a couple of friends in the industry. And we came up with this idea for a single non-biased place to have training and education. So whether it's physical event, like a venue like we are now, where there's an expo, there's some vendors, or just a single day event for the industry of a topic, like a vehicle make. If I was a student, if I went to say automotive training in my area and I'm in Chicago, I would really hope iCar would come up because they're in Chicago and they have a lot of training. But the reality is if you Google that in your area, you're only going to get a small piece of your area. You're not going to understand where Milwaukee is, where Vision is, where ASTE happens, where the TST big event happens. How can you understand what that event is if you've never been there or you don't know anybody that's gone? And how can I search for something I don't know? A lot of these are all acronyms. So unless you know the acronym of the event, it's going to be really hard for you to find that topic. So again, industry of tens, we have by state, You can actually search by content, by state, by tags. You can look for collision. You can look for business classes. And it's one single place where the industry should come together and post their events for free.
So I want you to go there, industryattends.com, and start playing with this site. I think the operative word is play. And realize how then, after you're done searching and filtering and reading, say, how does it work for my business? You need to play to get used to it, but then you need to get serious about what to use the information for. You're going to have online courses, you're going to have leader-led like TST, and all of that has to come from the industry itself. I mean, you're not going to be the Oz, all-knowing, all-seeing. You really are reaching out to the industry and says, listen, please come to my sandbox and dump in your pal.
That's right. Everybody else is the expert in that field.
You right. know,
if whether it's an EV or collision, an ADOS, those are the experts that are hard to find as individual. I don't know who Peter Orlando is or Ken Sanders or G. Trulia. And G's been all over the country doing training events.
Yeah.
And he's doing a fantastic job of getting this industry excited about classes. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, one of the things I think is important is I've never been to an event and I'd like to be, is we write articles on the topic of that venue. So what is it like to go to Vision Kansas City? And there's an article about what it's like. What can I expect to be there? What's it like to travel there? And getting people excited about training is, again, it's a passion of mine. I know it's a passion of Dave's too. It's a funny story, actually. That's kind of how we met. We met here. It's probably in like 2011 was this venue. He had a badge on that said Suffolk Community College. I went to Suffolk Community College. I live on Long Island, and we just hit it off, hit instant connection, and just started talking. I work on Long Island. He invited me to the school, and then he actually invited me to be on the advisory board for Suffolk Community College.
You still on?
Yeah, it's been a little while. COVID kind of put a little mingle in that, but yeah, absolutely.
Good.
So, you know, I meet a lot of the people that he has introduced me to, and then the same thing goes the other way around. You know, I've been able to introduce Dave to others as well.
Dave, tell the industry what it takes to get involved in a college on the advisory board. Now, I know there's limits and they have terms and all that stuff, but I need to get involved. How do I do it?
Yeah, I think just Google your closest either automotive high school or automotive college program and reach out. I think one thing that is maybe not visible from the outside, but community colleges especially, our mission is supported by the public, so we don't have a ton of resources for outreach, right? So you don't hear a lot from public community colleges because we don't have huge marketing budgets like a for-profit, like a Lincoln Tech or UTI or Ohio Tech. So reach out to the schools. The schools need your help probably more than you realize. They need the guidance to help with instruction and curriculum and a lot of times supports. The more rural schools probably need even more help from the perspective of physical supports, things like cars, engines, physical donations. And many times those things can be a tax write-off for the business as well. But I would say just find your local school and reach out and don't be afraid to pick up the phone and just say, hey, how can I help?
What's going on with Industry Attends? How are you reaching out to the rest of the world so that they can at least get posted? You're using social media? You got an email list?
All of the above. So
oh, okay.
You know, we can email a lot of the groups that I'm aware of, and I'm introducing them to them as I meet them. So there's some venues that, again, like Vision is a great one. I can walk around Vision and get a really good sense of who's offering training classes. But even so, there's vendors that I don't know that, you know, maybe it's an air conditioning part, but they do training for air conditioning.
What if I'm a training company and I charge X? Is it okay if I post, or do I have to be a non-for-profit?
This is free. So it's really free for everybody to join and post your event.
Even if I'm a for-profit training company?
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Industryattends.com. I implore you to go and get on that site. Dave, there's something else that I found out about you, and I don't know if you have the time, but you're also a CTI?
WTI.
A WTI, WOPEC manager trainer. And you and Isaac Rodell manage the Asian and the hybrid training.
Yeah, that's right.
Where do you find time for all that?
I actually have myself cloned two or three times.
Listen, when we're all over, can you tell me how to do that?
Absolutely. Honestly, I have a passion for this business and for this industry. As Justin mentioned, must have been 2011 or 2012. Justin saw me, as he mentioned here, and introduced me to Rob Morrell from WorldPack and Mark Warren and said, you know, Dave is a Honda Pact and Toyota T10 instructor and knows those cars inside and out. Do you need somebody like that at WorldPack? And that started my career at WorldPack as a trainer. I've been training for WorldPack since 2015, kind of doing the monthly drop into different cities, mostly in the Asian market. And probably for the last 4 or 5 years, I've done development, brought trainers in like Brandon Steckler, some different folks throughout the industry. And
how do you get away from your classes?
Which classes?
His clone. He's in school.
My clone.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you're talking about how do I get away from my classes? Because
you're doing. Aren't you doing Toyota and Honda? Are you the instructor?
I'm no longer the instructor. I'm the department administrator.
Oh, so you don't have to take a class.
Yeah, I don't teach much at the college anymore. So, but the Worldpac thing. If you look at most of our classes, they're on Saturdays. So I live about within an hour of three different airports.
Got
so
it.
On a Friday, I fly out, I teach on a Saturday, and I fly home.
How many students in the entire college automotive tech program?
About 200.
About 200. Got it. Do you have a general?
We have a general program, and then we have three factory tracks, a certificate track, and also an evening general section.
Do you have an AOS and an AAS?
Just an AAS and a four-credit certificate.
Ever think of doing an AOS?
We have. We'll have a sidebar conversation about that one, the politics of getting curriculum through a community college.
We're working on that right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a problem because we're an annex, so we have to bus kids over to get their English, science, and math stuff.
Yes.
And so it becomes an interesting challenge. And I'm not wasting your time, my great listener, with this politics, but I think it's important to know that there are as many challenges in the education side of our world than anyone would come to expect. And that's why they need you to get there and encourage them.
Absolutely. And they need to hear your voices loudly. I'll put it that way.
That's actually why we need that certification. As we get after the school and you have something you can take with you, that's the next certification level. And then as you go to events like this, what have you learned and what have you traded for that time?
Should techs be licensed, Justin?
That's an interesting one. I mean, electricians are, and the UK they are. So you are a journeyman mechanic or technician in Europe. Before you become a certified.
Yeah, is in Europe, like in Canada, you can get licensed once and I think you never have to qualify, right? It's just one time thing. And to me, I think that's wrong. Things are moving too fast, not to say that I'm a licensed.
How about your driver's license? We just get one driving test and then we're good for the rest of our lives until we're...
No, you have to 70s. Do the eye chart.
Something at least. If you have another hour, I could talk to you about licensing. It's part of my research.
Really? Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Clear my schedule.
No, it's just to that point, though. Like, that's actually how ASE exists. 1969, there was a big thing that went on in the Senate with Ralph Nader. They were pushing for technician licensing.
I think I was a very young child, but I remember reading about that.
So 72, I think we just learned, I think ASE is 50 years old. That came about to avoid licensing, to come up with a certification program that essentially would be an industry-controlled preventative measure for licensing that would help to show technician competency.
So right to repair, all the data, who owns it, we need to get inside. Imagine if, and again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, imagine if we did that back then, I think the OEs would be a whole lot less crazy than they are.
Maybe so.
You have to be careful of the line you walk.
Yeah.
Get that.
I'm going to bite my tongue too.
All right.
We live in a litigious society, right? And I think that's a lot of it comes down to that as well.
Wow. This was great. Dave Mockholtz, the academic chair of Suffolk Community College. Thanks for being here, man. And Justin Kidd from iScan. You used to do some stuff with CarQuest, but you don't anymore. Technician, and you're the group dispatch support on demand with iScan. And you got a booth here, I see.
I do.
Cool.
I'm very busy.
And you are one of the co-founders of industryattends.com. We got to talk more about this and while this thing is going and come back on the show and maybe do an entire episode just on that. Okay.
Yeah, be happy to.
Thanks. Love that. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks for having
us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.